Okay, look at spiritual reproduction on page 7 and look at Roman numeral 6 where it says desire affects reproduction. And, of course, it's obviously like that in the natural, but I want you to keep your minds on what our objective is as the body of Christ, as born-again believers. We're not islands. We're not out here just to look at ourselves and be self-centered in lifestyle and ministry, but the whole purpose of ministry is to reach out to other people. God in us wants to flow through us. So if you think about it, God has reproduced Himself in us, and God wants to reproduce through us. So it's a matter of us cooperating with the Lord and let Him do what He wants to do in us and through us, right? To where we have spiritual babies, right?
Yeah.
And everybody in here wants to get pregnant, right?
Yeah.
With in the spirit. You understand? Because if you're not pregnant, you're not going to produce. So this is what I found is a major problem in churches today, is the churches don't want to get pregnant because with pregnancy comes responsibility. When you give birth to that baby, then there's a responsibility that goes with that. It's not just birthing, but just rearing up children. There's a difference between producing converts and producing disciples. You understand? It takes both. It starts with a convert, but then you must disciple the convert. Can you imagine giving birth to an infant and just walking off and leaving that infant? What's going to happen? It's going to die by the wayside, right? And this is what happens with so many people, or they stay in church for 30, 40 years, and they're still just babies. They're still on the bottle, and these are the people that are crying all the time, and they need all the attention, all this type thing. You with me?
Yeah.
And Peter says, as newborn babes, we're to desire the milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. Just like a baby crying for the bottle, we should be crying for the Word of God. There should be a desire on the inside of us to be nurtured for the purpose of maturing us, not just to get what we want, but to mature us into where we can actually reproduce for God. But here again, that starts with desire. And actually, if you look at the word desire, it's a wishing or a longing for something, a particular thing. And what happens with desire is it will produce an action. Have you ever seen something that you wanted and maybe you didn't have the money to buy that, but you wanted that desperately, so you start figuring out a way to generate revenue. In other words, you're trying to figure out a way that I can get the money. What can I sell? Can I do a job on the side or whatever? What can I do to get that? And it will drive you to do what you normally didn't do because the desire was so strong. You with me? God wants us to love Him so much that it stimulates a desire in us that causes us to pursue the things of God. And I'll be fair with you. In just status quo church, I don't see a lot of passion. And because there's not a lot of passion, there's not a lot of things being produced for the Lord. There's no desire to reproduce. And every mature Christian should desire to produce converts and disciples. Now, let me qualify this statement. I'm not saying that everybody's called to be a pulpit ministry, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. But everybody in this room influences somebody.
Yeah.
Are you with me? You'll influence people I'll never see. That's why ministry is wherever you go. You go to the job as a minister. Most of us just go as an employee. You know, we don't think about being on the job to represent the Lord. We think about being on the job just to get a paycheck to do whatever the company's wanting done. But what if you thought of that as a service to the Lord? Whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of Jesus. So when you go to work, it's just, Lord, you're in me. I'm a vehicle. I just brought you on the job. You know what you want to do. I'm going to work, and if there's something that you want to do, you prompt me, and then I'll let you use the body to accomplish what you want to accomplish. Pretty basic. If you think about it, when you do that, you're ministering. You understand? You know, in all the years I worked in secular work, I never got on no boat, soapbox, and preached to anybody. You just live your life, and then what happens, people in trouble will come to you, and they'll say, can I talk to you? Yeah. Now you know what you're doing? You're ministering. You follow me? And it's amazing what will actually occur if you'll just let the Lord live His life through you. And that won't happen if you don't have a desire. And I can tell you in my own personal life, the desire started with a hunger to know the Bible. I wanted to know the Bible, so I would read, I would study. And I'm talking about not after ministry, I'm talking about before ministry, working 45 hours a week minimum, okay? But there was such a desire to know God that I would spend hours reading the Bible. Now, prior to that desire, I just read because you're supposed to. You understand? Soothe your conscience. Any of you? Don't even answer that, okay? But we're not talking about reading the Bible through in a year and having a format so you can do it. We're talking about the love for God. You want to know the Lord. You want to know how He thinks. You want to know His heart. And because of that strong desire, you get in and you start reading what God says about Himself. And you understand there's much in the Bible about God. And that's the only way you can study God. You don't study God by reading theories, other men's opinions. You study God by reading God, the Word of God. And so, the more you read, the more it stimulates. And you can't get enough. And, you know, I would hate to have to stop and just do something else. But you did it out of duty. You know, you fulfill your responsibilities. But then, you're looking forward to getting back in to reading the Bible. And it amazes me how people today have very little interest in spending time reading the Bible. It's not something they look forward to. It's something they do out of duty. And as a result, very few of them ever get pregnant. You understand? Because the conception's not taking place. Until there's a conception on the inside of you, birth's not coming. And this conception is taking place with God. It's taking place out of desire. You know, you desire to see people born again. Instead of talking about how sorry the world is and how bad the people are around you, have you ever thought about praying for them? Have you ever thought about intercession? To where you actually look at the person and feel sorry for them. Yeah. You know, there's people along my way that have actually irritated me. How about you? You ever had anybody irritate me? But the Lord has helped me in this. I'm not telling you I've arrived, okay? But the Lord has helped me in this to start seeing beyond the surface and seeing that person is actually victimized by the devil. And then you start actually feeling sorry for the person. You have a compassion for this person. You start legitimately praying for the person. Not, oh, Father, make them leave me alone. Not, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the where that you have a genuine concern that you want them delivered, you want them set free from that influence they're under. And most of them don't even know they're under that type of influence anyway. But we have a role to play in this life. We have a job to do in this life. And until we get a desire in our hearts for God that's stronger than desire for the things of the world, we're not going to fulfill the purpose for which God's ordained us. You know, I'm working on something right now, a study the Lord just dropped in my heart. And it started with just a phrase, destiny is in your heart. And we look at all different angles for destiny, and people talk about predestination and all those type things. But destiny's in your heart, and what you set your heart on is the destination you're going to. Now, you just think about it, okay? Back in my early years, I had destiny in my heart to be a racing mechanic. You understand? That was all I thought. I lived it. And it started becoming a reality in my life. And that was my passion. You understand? I was addicted to racing. Close to being possessed, I suppose. And the interesting thing about that was in my heart, so my heart was pursuing that. But thank God that love pursued me and opened my eyes, and then my interest started changing. It just didn't leave me all at once. But my interest started changing. And as my interest, I got more interested in God, I became less interested in racing. And then perspective changed. You know, I thought, you know, doing all this mechanics and all that was the top of the chain. And then it started just diminishing, and the Lord started becoming more important. Now, as that happened, desire to do things for the Lord increased. The desire to do the things for myself decreased. And the other was selfish. Self-centered, selfish, any way you want to look at it. It was all about me. And that's where many people live their lives. Their lives revolve around what they want to do. But I've learned that my life should be revolving around Jesus. As a matter of fact, Paul says it this way, in Him we live and move and have our being. My very existence is in Jesus. My life should revolve around Him. He's the very core, the nucleus of our being. So that should captivate our attention. To where it doesn't matter what you're doing, you haven't abandoned God in your thought. You understand that you're thinking about God constantly. And the more you meditate on the Lord, the more you're going to hear the Lord speak to you. The more that's going to go in your heart, and you'll start seeing destiny change. You can change your destination by changing your interest. By changing your thinking. You follow me? And so it's extremely important that we do that. And I'm convinced that when desire becomes strong enough, that born-again believers are going to devise a plan that will bring about spiritual growth. This is what's going on right now in the college and in the church. We have a desire to get out of four walls. I'm not saying abandon a building. I'm saying not let the building contain your ministry. Our ministry should be so big, our vision should be so big that no building can contain the vision. But the mindset today is big builder, big build, I'll get it out in a minute, build bigger buildings, draw larger crowds. And what I find with that is very little is accomplished for the kingdom of God. Then our own little empire becomes our field of ministry and the world's neglected. God's wanting us to reach out to the world. That means you doing what God's called you to do, me doing what God's called me to do. When we do all this and we have a passion for the Lord, whatever our vocation of life is, but we're passionate about the Lord, we're going to be doing things for the Lord. We will be reproducing, you understand, for the Lord. And you do it and you're not even necessarily thinking about reproducing. I'll just tell you this. This is something that I've observed over the years, and especially in counseling, where you have a couple, a young couple that's married, and for whatever reason, they're wanting to have a baby, and they can't get pregnant. And so often I hear, we're trying, we're trying. You know what I say? Stop trying. Just stop trying. Forget about trying to get pregnant and do what comes natural. You understand? You enjoy the marital relationship. You don't think about, I want to get pregnant. Because what you do is you stress yourself out, you tense yourself up, and you actually work against yourself. Let it happen. It's the same way in the Spirit. It's not that you try to get pregnant in the Spirit. You're trying to get pregnant. I want to produce this. I want to produce that. No. What you do is enter into that intimate relationship with God. You become very passionate for God. You like to hang out with God, spend time with God. And out of that, a conception takes place. And where there's conception, birth's coming. Does that make sense? Was I graphic enough? Okay. You're mature. You can handle it. Okay? But if you don't have any desire to reproduce, you're probably not going to. I'm talking about spiritual reproduction. As a matter of fact, the same thing holds true in the natural. You don't have a desire to reproduce, what do? You practice birth control. And that's what the church has been doing for years. It wants to control everything rather than just letting God do what God wants to do. Now, desire can be stimulated or developed, and it's done through knowledge of God and through exposure to God. The more you learn about God and the more you expose yourself to God. God knows you anyway. You understand? It's amazing how many people think that they're going to hoodwink God, deceive God, and God looks at your heart. You put up all kinds of facades. God's not looking at the externals. God's looking at your heart. He knows what's in here. It's not what I say with my mouth. What is my heart saying to the Lord? You understand? God knows my heart. And so when I get my heart right with God, desire increases. Do you follow me? And the greater the desire, the more stimulated you are to go toward the destiny that God wants you to go to. And so what happens? You change directions. Right? That's what repentance is. If you didn't know it, it's a change of direction. You were going that way, you went this way. And so you can change your destiny by getting your mind on the Lord. Instead of pursuing what you want, pursue what God wants. What's God spoken to you about? Then just do it. Just go with it. Don't talk about how inconvenient it is, and don't talk about they don't deserve it. I've heard that. Well, you don't either. So let's just go ahead and get it all on the table. None of us want what we deserve. But thank God for mercy. Thank God for compassion. And the bottom line is what God has extended to you, He wants you to extend to other people. Was God merciful to you? Then you be merciful to other people. God compassionate? Then be compassionate. Did God pour Himself into you? Pour yourself into other people. Don't be afraid to that somebody else is going to rise and maybe excel beyond you. Praise God they did. At least you had a part in it. You understand? Be their biggest cheerleader. Don't be jealous of them. And certainly don't compete with one another. Now, what stimulates all this thing? You've heard Pat use it. We've used it over the years, talking about desire and talking about discipline, talking about delight. The delight is the goal that you want to go to. Okay? And the stronger, when you see that as, I have to get there. That's necessary. You know? For instance, a person competing in the race, most people don't go in a race competing for fifth place. You understand? You compete for first place. Even if you're not the fastest, you can be the most consistent and you can make wiser moves and you can actually be the fastest one. And so don't ever think that it's the fastest one that's always going to win. You go in there with a mentality of winning. You understand that this is how we serve God. We don't go in just holding on till we get out of here. And I've heard that testimony more times than I can count. Y'all just pray for me that I'll hold on to the end. Well, why don't you climb? If you're climbing, you won't have to hold on. You understand? You'll be active and you won't be thinking about you may fall off of the rope or whatever. You with me? And that's where too many people are. They just plateaued out and they're just trying to hold on. They're not wanting to produce for the kingdom of God. This is an amazing thing to me. I was thinking about it this past week. How people want to live with God eternally. They just don't want to live with Him today. You know, wait till I die and I want to live with Him forever. Well, why aren't we passionate about Him today? Why don't we want to live with Him today? And I can tell you this, if you live with Him, you're going to reproduce for Him. Because God believes in reproduction. God will put seed in you. If you'll live with Him, if you give Him your attention, something's going to take place on the inside of you, and all of a sudden you say, that's a goal I want to go for. You with me? That's a goal I want to go for. I never thought I'd ever be a preacher. You understand? That was a farthest thing from my mind. But the more I got to know God, the more I got to hanging out with God, the more I thought, well, there's a remote possibility that could happen. And one thing led to another thing. And it finally got to where, I won't go into all the detail of it, but it brought, as a situation, I'll just put it this way, that was going on that was grieving me. And I know it was the Spirit of God in me that was being grieved. And I just said, I'm to the point that I'm like Isaiah. Here am I. Send me. Well, I meant it, but I didn't know all the ramifications of that statement, you understand. And in a process of time, the Lord started dealing with me. Now, I said it. Did I mean it? You understand? So one thing led to another, and then all of a sudden, I start actually seeing myself in the ministry. You get a vision of it on the inside of you before it manifests on the outside of you. What vision's on the inside of you? If you don't see yourself doing anything on the inside, you're not going to be doing anything on the outside to amount to anything. But you have to have a vision. And a vision is not just getting up and going to work and coming home and going to bed and getting up and going to work. That's not a vision. That's just a routine that a person's going through. What is it that we want to achieve in this life for the Lord? And I'm not talking about what you can conjure up, but what's been in your heart. What is it that you feel like the Lord wants you to do? You know, we were talking this morning using all these, learning how to use these reference books and all that. And I'm sure most of you in here are familiar with Strong's Concordance, right? Mm-hmm. Has the thought ever occurred to you that God chose James Strong to write that concordance? Do you know how many years of his life it would take to do what he did? Every word in the Bible, every time it's mentioned in the Bible, and then coordinate that numerically with a Greek and Hebrew dictionary? But how many of you think that's a ministry? It's a tremendous ministry. He got a vision on the inside of him first. And the delight for that, the desire for that was so strong that he was disciplined enough to produce this book that you and I benefit from today. You understand? It's not all about just standing in front of people preaching and teaching. It's about doing what God's called you to do. I thank God for technology. I thank God that that's not where he called me into. But I appreciate it, and I strive to know enough that I don't just get blindsided with stuff, but yet that's not what God's called me to do. You with me? Yet that's what God's called some people to do. You think about media ministry. I mean, I appreciate John coming tonight. And, you know, I asked Heather to pick her daddy's brain. So she just brought him here and let me share with him what I'm thinking, and because he has expertise in that area. Well, is that just coincidental or is that ministry? I'm going to tell you that it's ministry. All you have to do is go on their Facebook website page and look at the live streaming they do, the things they do, and look at the quality of the video and all that. It's ministry. You understand? But somewhere along the way, John had to have vision on the inside of him to pursue some of this technology stuff to where he could learn this to know how to do that. This is what I'm talking about. What's in you? What interest does God have in you? Now, I'm not talking about the world, but what interest is in you? That's the desire I'm talking about. And when the desire becomes strong enough, the discipline will be there to take you to that gold, which is called delight by many. The desire leads to a discipline that will take you to the delight, okay? And what we have today is an undisciplined society, both in the secular world as well as in the church world. And in order to reproduce, there is a discipline, there's a responsibility in all this. God has not called us to spiritually reproduce and walk away. There's obligations we have with spiritual reproduction. You know, this college, God spoke the name, that's all. Spirit Training Center. That's all he spoke. But it put vision in. You follow me? So the vision's in. And so year after year after year, that vision is there. And then there is a desire to see that vision fulfilled. And so you start doing things that needs to be done in order for that to come to pass, like writing policy and procedure manuals and writing all the curriculum and assigning all the numbers to it and all the boring stuff that goes with all that. That's absolutely necessary. What happens, the desire is so strong that you're disciplined enough to sit there and do what you have to do to get the job done. You understand? It's like that in any aspect of your life. This is how spiritual reproduction takes place. It starts with desire. And that desire is strong, and you can stimulate desire. You follow me? And the more you stimulate, the more you provoke the desire on the inside of you, the more disciplined you become to make sure that that desire becomes a reality. You follow me? Tyler did that with Heather. I heard the report by his pastor. And his pastor encouraged him to pursue. I hope John's happy with that. But I just use that. I mean, we can laugh about it, but what would happen if the desire hadn't been there? That he'd been going here, there, and everywhere, whatever. He wouldn't have disciplined himself to get in pursuit. And you let him catch you, right? Yeah, okay. All right. You follow the principle? The same way with God. How much desire do we have for God? You know, it's like, I think about the Holy Spirit, and I use these personal examples. You know, I grew up in a full gospel church, but I never got baptized in the Holy Spirit in that church because they made it too difficult. I was never good enough to get baptized, and then when you did try to go up there, there's so much stuff, better watch what I say, there's so much stuff going on around you that you're confused. And so what happens? You just say, well, that's not for me. And this went on for years. But there was a time in my life that I thought, I really do want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I really want that. So I started paying attention to those things and really looking to God in my total ignorance, you understand. And the only way I knew how, I'd like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know. But the more I thought about it, the more I wanted it. And then, you know, one Wednesday night, this guy, he gave a very simple message on being baptized in the Holy Spirit that was totally different than the denomination I grew up in. No works to it, just faith. You receive the Holy Spirit like you receive salvation. So I went up to the altar and he prayed with me, and about one or two syllables came out, and I got so elated that I just shut it off because I thought, you know, that doesn't make sense to me. I like it, but I'm embarrassed by all the people around me, and you know, I'm very self-conscious anyway. And so I shut it off. And I went on for a period of time, and I could say, well, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit now. You know, it makes a good testimony, right? But something in me was lacking. And I remember I was on my job. They sent me to Virginia for a week in training. And so I got off of work. I would eat dinner and go to the hotel. And I'd taken my Bible and some other material to study. And that Wednesday, I just got to thinking about the Holy Spirit. Now, I got passionate about the Holy Spirit. You're talking about desire. It was desire maximized. And I said to God, I'm going to be like Jacob with that angel. I will not turn you loose until the rivers flow. You said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. I said, I'm like a dripping faucet. I'm just telling you how I talk to the Lord, okay? Now, I said I'm not content with all that. What brought that about? Desire. You're thinking about it. You're thinking about it. And it becomes so strong on the inside of you. Now the thinking becomes a passion. I must have this. And I'm not going to stop short. And I can tell you that night in General Wayne Hotel in Waynesville, Virginia, the dam broke. And the rivers flowed for a while. You understand? What was the difference? Was it God or was it me? It was me. God would have liked to have been baptized 25 years prior to that. Or more than that, for that matter. That wasn't the issue. The issue was the desire had to get to the point that I wanted that produced in my life. That I was willing to just throw caution to the wind and just get my mind totally fixed on the Lord. That's how spiritual reproduction occurs. You open your heart wide open to the Lord. Here am I. You put the seed in. And I'll cooperate with the seed. You and I are going to have a baby. Amen? And my time's up, so I'm going to stop. We'll take a break.